Good morning, Vintage. How are we doing? Doing good? How many of you guys enjoyed worship? I really enjoyed worship. I love it when the worship team has some fun and gets into it. Helps me to get ready for the message. Well, hey, if you guys don't know me, my name is Frank. I have the honor to be the associate pastor here at Vintage. And the past 2 weeks, I was out on vacation. In a couple weeks, Brandy and I, my wife and I, we celebrate 5 years together. So we took a couple weeks. But yeah, give it up. Yeah. We took a couple weeks early to go and just to celebrate that. And so we went to Disney. Have you guys, any of you guys been to Disney? Some of you guys? Yeah, Disney's where all the magic happens, right? And we were walking up to one of the parks, Magic Kingdom, and my wife just, we didn't even do anything, and she started crying. I guess that's what Disney does to you guys. But, yeah, you know, and I am all about the thrill rides, right? You know, how many of you guys like roller coasters? Okay, a lot of us, right? I love the thrill. I love the feeling where the stomach kind of comes up, you know, and you can't do anything about it, right? I love that feeling. My wife doesn't, okay? I learned that on this trip. But I also learned that Disney is not really like a theme park. It's more like characters and Disney, and yeah, and I was wanting the thrill ride. They have some thrill rides, right? And so there were quite a few of them, and so I told my wife, you're coming with me. You're going. I had to drag her to some of them, but I was like, you are coming with me. And so I like it, and Disney, now, if you've been to Disney World, you know you spend a lot of money, okay? Let's just be real. You end up going there, you spend a lot of money, and they have what's called like a photo pass, where you have all these pictures on the rides or on the people that are coming up to you, and you can keep them if you pay like $500 for them. And I was like, I ain't doing that, you know? And they sent it to you on the app, though, but they put a watermark on it, right? So I was like, I'm screenshotting this with the watermark. I'm not paying $500 for the original photo, right? So I got a couple pictures of my wife on the ride. You guys want to see them?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the first one. Look at her. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. And she's like, why'd you get me on this ride, right? She does not like it. And what about the next one right here, right? Show the next picture. She's like terrified. I'm like, I'm trying to get both hands up, but I can't because she has my other hand holding it for dear life, right? And we had a lot of fun, and she eventually warmed up. She eventually started to love it, and this is the last picture I have. Take a look at this. She finally raises both hands. She has a lot of fun. Yeah, give it up for her, right? Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun, so I just want to say thank you to Pastor Jesus and Audra for allowing us to get away and celebrate and to refresh. But I am excited to be here. You know what I'm also excited? That football has finally started. Who's excited for some football, right? Oh, you guys better be more excited for that. Okay, don't worry. The Lions have the afternoon game, so you'll have plenty of time to watch it. So you don't have to worry about missing that. Cowboys, I think, have the afternoon game, too, but you don't need to watch that. So, well, hey, I just wanted to kind of open up, and if I lose your attention in the first 5 minutes, you're not going to listen to me for the rest of the service. But if you hear football, oh, I know I got all the guys' attention right now. So we're going to go ahead and continue, right? So, hey, we're in this series called Vintage Values. Vintage Values. Now, before I continue further, if you missed last week or you plan to miss the next 3 weeks, I want to highly encourage you to go on our website, vintageaustin.org. In the middle of the section, there's a place for messages, or you can go on Spotify, if you have Spotify, and just search Vintage Church, and you'll see our logo, and all of our messages are on there. I want to encourage you to go back, if you haven't listened to week one, and go back and listen to it. If you plan on missing any of them, here's the thing. If you're new here and you're like, I want to know more about this place, I want to know what you guys are all about, this series is for you. But if you're not new here and Vintage is home to you, this series is for you as well, because this communicates who we are as a church and what we value as a church. And so I wasn't here last week, so I went back and listened to Pastor Jesus' message. Last week was so good. It was so good. And I'll give you a spoiler alert that the tortillas came up in the message. Now, if you know Pastor Jesus, he loves tortillas. And about 75% of his messages, he has to talk about tortillas. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but he has to incorporate it into his messages. In fact, last week he was drawing like a heart-shaped thing, and he expected you guys to think tortilla. Don't know why, but that's the way he has to do that, right? And but he talked about being our first core value, which is what? Set free to be. Say it with me. Set free to be. That's what he talked about. He talked about how we, God has called us as human beings individually, right, to live the life that God has called us to be. But we can't do that if we're confined to the enemy's lies, right? We can't do that if we're trapped into the hurt and the wounds. And that, remember when he drew that on the whiteboard last week, right? We can't do that. We have to be set free in what God has done for us so that way we can be, right? So we can be all that God has called us to be and do all that God has called us to do. So if you didn't listen last week, go back to the online and take a look at that. So today's core value, or today's value that I'm going to talk about is strive to thrive. Strive to thrive. Stay with me. Strive to thrive. I want you guys to remember these values, because we every single year we do this series. We do this series once a year, and we want to do this to kind of keep us on the forefront of our minds and who we are as a church. So we're going to talk about today, strive to thrive. What does this mean? This means we passionately pursue our relationship with God. This is what strive to thrive means. Now, I'm going to break this down here for the rest of the message, but it means we passionately pursue our relationship with God. Now, if you know me, I love meanings. I love understanding what they mean and the value behind it and like the real definition behind it. So I want to break down some of these meanings for you. And the way I look at it is this, is I may go to a house and I'll see a picture on a wall, and I'll look at that picture and see the wall, and I'm like, why is it on that wall and not that wall? Right? Like it feels like it would be better over on that wall. And so I would ask the person, you know, like, well, is there any meaning behind it being on that wall? And they'd be like, no, other than just to fill the wall. You know, I'm like, okay, you know. And I got people coming up to me and I'm like, oh, dude, look at this cool tattoo I have, right? And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like, what's the point of it? You know, I like it. Oh, there's no meaning behind it? There's no, like, significant, you know, to it? No, I just like it. Oh, okay, all right, you know. Or how about this, you know, maybe some of y'all some of us has kids, right? If you don't know what your kid's name means, you did something wrong. You should know what your kid's name means. That's the way I operate, right? Like, when I have a kid, I'm going to name it something that I want it to be meaningful. I'm like, son, your name means this, and you're going to rise up to be this, and you're going to, you know, you're going to grow up to be like this, you know? Like, that's the way I think. Now, if you don't know what your kid's names mean, don't worry, it's fine. I'm just telling you, I love the meanings, right? I love meanings behind things, and some people find it annoying, but that's just me, okay? So today I want to break down what strive to thrive means. And so the first thing I thought, okay, well, what does strive mean? So strive means to make great efforts to achieve or to obtain something. So we have a goal. We're trying to achieve something. We're going to do everything we can possibly do for a goal, right? And so what does thrive mean? Let's put up thrive. Thrive means to prosper or to flourish, to grow, right? It means to prosper or to flourish. So I look at this and I'm thinking, you know what? What does thrive or strive to thrive means? It means we passionately pursue our relationship with God. Now, how many of you say, this is what I want? I want to passionately pursue a relationship with God. Would you say that's you, God? If you guys came here to church, you're like, yes, I want more of that. I want to learn. I want to, you know, grow in my faith. Like, that's why we're here, right? And so how we're going to break this down is passionately pursue is how we strive. This is how we strive. This is the goal that we're achieving, right? This is the goal that we want, to thrive where? In our relationship with God. So when we strive to thrive, what we're communicating is that we want to do everything we possibly can to thrive in our relationship with God. So how do we pursue a relationship with God? How do we passionately pursue a relationship with God? How do we pursue a thriving relationship with God? We passionately pursue it. And what I love about this is that when you pursue something, you communicate the passion you have for it. How you pursue something, how often you pursue it, the way you lean in, the way you treat that person, or whatever, how you treat that is what you are communicating, the passion that you have for it. For example, my wife and I, when we first started dating a while back, I remember us just wanting to always be around each other, and we would text each other, we would be in each other's presence all the time, we just wanted to get to know each other, and we were just always with each other, right? And I'm a pretty sensitive guy, and so I like hugs, and so I would go up to her and I would hug her, and we'd hug, and it'd be good. And 5 years later, I try to hug her and she's like, "Oh, that's too hot for that, babe. It's just Texas heat, and just get away, right?" I used to always, when we would go to the grocery store or go anywhere, I wanted people to know that she was mine. I wanted people to know that I was dating her, that I liked her, and that she, that I wanted people to know that she was mine. So I would hold her hand, and we go everywhere we go. We hold our hands, and now when we walk into HEB, she's like, "Your hands are too sweaty. I ain't doing that, right?" And I'm like, "What? Like, no, I'm throwing my wife under the bus. It's not all her. Some of it's me. Some of it's a little bit it's me. But if I come home from work and I'm hungry, you don't ask me to do anything until you get food in my belly, right? All the guys, amen? Right? I need food in my belly. I get hangry, right, when I don't have food inside of me. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about when we used to start, we were dating and then marriage, and it's not all like that. We have a great marriage. It's a thriving marriage. We love each other. Don't worry. But I started thinking about the way we pursue something, communicate the passion I have for it. Think about that. The way we pursue something communicates the passion for it. So my question to you today is, are you pursuing God in a way that communicates your passion for him? Are you pursuing your relationship with God in a way that communicates to not just him, but to everyone around you, your passion for God? And today I want to begin to unravel that. Today I want to begin to unravel, are we pursuing a relationship with God passionately? Is that what our life looks like this morning? And so how do we passionately pursue a relationship? How do we passionately pursue a relationship with God? I'm going to break it down into two very simple things that I think is very practical and that we all can take away from this message. And all relationship, what needs to happen? You have to communicate, right? You have to communicate. If you are not communicating, you probably don't have a relationship with that other person, right? It is the same in a relationship with God. We have to constantly be communicating in our relationship with God. And I think about this, when I was dating, I would always text her. I would always, want to be around with her and just get to know her more. And it was never a boring time, Like I was always texting her, and I was always trying to, we were on the phone with each other all the time. We dated long distance for 7 months. And I think about all the times that, why is our marriage strong the way it is now? Because we communicated a lot. Even the bad thing, even when we were getting to arguments, even when we would get into things that we didn't agree, what did we do? We communicated. So how do we communicate to God? How do we communicate in God? The first way is through prayer. We communicate through God through prayer, right? We communicate through God through prayer. And I love this, what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done." And what I love about this, it says, pray about what? Everything. Pray about how your life is. Pray about what you're going through. Pray about what's going on at work. Pray about what's going on with your family. Pray about what your desires, your dreams. Like, pray about everything, right? Pray about everything. And I love that prayer, essentially, all prayer is you talking to God. It's a conversation with God. But what I love about this is it says, instead pray about anything, tell God what you need, but it doesn't stop there. It says, and thank him for all that he has done. How many of us, we don't get into a relationship or your family's spouse or your brothers or sisters, if you know, like, that one brother that is always asking for something, right? He's always asking for money or a ride or, you know, or something like that. And you kind of get, like, annoyed by that, right? And you kind of get, like, you know, I'm there for them, their family, I love them. But after a while, it kind of gets annoying, right? Like, you want to hear, like, maybe a thank you, at least, you know, maybe some gas money for the car, right? Or something like that. It's the same in a relationship with God. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't need our thanks. He is God, after all, right? But it does something inside of our hearts when we communicate our love and our thankfulness, and that we realize all that he has done in our lives, and we say it out loud to God. See, God wants that. That is what a relationship is. He wants us to communicate to him. We can do that through prayer. In fact, that's why we're doing the 21 days of prayer. Right, we're doing this 21 days of prayer, and we're doing this up until when we celebrate our 2 years as a church family here in Vintage in a couple of weeks. And the reason why we're doing this is because yes, we want to as a church family pray together. But when we're praying, we're communicating to God that we want more of you, we need more of you in this city, in this church, in our lives. And so, what we're gonna do as a church family. But we're going to pray together. And that's why we're doing this 21 days of prayer. So maybe some of us are like, I don't know what to pray about. I don't know how to pray. Like, I would highly encourage you. Every single morning at 7 a.m., we post on our social media a little topic of the day of what we can pray about. And this is a simple way that you can join us in prayer and for your own personal time and see what we can pray about. Now, prayer is a conversation. So it goes two ways. You see, a lot of times when we think prayer, we think, oh, we need to talk to God. We need to ask God for all these things. We need to, you know, thank him. And we need to do all the talking. But that's not what a conversation looks like. A conversation goes both ways. And so we need to leave room for God to speak to us. We need to leave room for us to take a moment where we just kind of pause and allow God to speak to us and allow God to share with us what his thoughts are. And one of the main ways that he can do that is through the word of God. It's the second way that we can communicate with God. Do you know that God, that the Bible, this Bible right here is God's love letter for you? This Bible is for you. And some of us, we may haven't, you know, picked this up in a while, or we don't know how to read it. And can I just tell you something? Just start somewhere. Just start with the gospel. And just, you can see the life of Jesus as you go through his ministry, right? And you see that. This is God's word for you. In fact, it says this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it on day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You see, some of us, we're looking for wisdom. We're looking for clarification. We're looking for direction. And a lot of times, God will speak to you through the Word of God. God will speak to you through the Bible, and he wants to speak to you. All we got to do is dive into it. And so if you're like, man, I'm just kind of stuck in this place where I'm not hearing anything. I don't know how to kind of move forward in my relationship with God, get into the Word. Get into the Word, and you will learn to communicate with God. The third way we can do this is through worship. Through worship. See, when we worship together as the church family, we are thanking God and we are praising God. We are putting our lives and everything that's happening, and we're kind of like pushing it down for a second. And we're saying, God, we realize who you are and we love you so much that we're going to take some time to focus on you and verbally declare who you are. You see, and some of us, we walk in this place, maybe you're new to Christianity, you're new to faith, and you're figuring this all out, and you see someone raise their hands, it's kind of weird, you know. I understand. The reason why they're doing that is because of their love and their passion for God that they can't help but to worship. They can't help but to tell God and thank him for all that he has done. See, when you enter into a relationship with God, he will show you what he can do for you. He will show you, he will show up in your life in many different areas that you don't expect. He will. That's a promise. And this is our time and our opportunity to communicate with God how thankful we are for him, right? And that's why every Sunday morning we come here, we do a worship. We start off with worship because we want to get our heart and our minds ready for the message. But we also want to take a moment and say, regardless of what week I've had, I praise you. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for who you are. And the words that you speak speaks to you because it's a reminder to you of what God is, right? It's a reminder of who God is in us. Right? This is our different ways that we can communicate. If you are not communicating in your relationship with God, how can you expect to thrive? How can you expect to thrive in any kind of relationship if you're not communicating? You have to communicate. So if we got into the Word of God, if we used prayer, if we got into worship, what would our relationship with God individually look like? Would it look a little bit differently? The second area that I think that we can do to strive in our relationship with God is to be in community. Be in community. If you want to get to know somebody and you want to get to know more about them, what do? You get around them. You get around their presence, right? You hang out in group settings. You get to be with them all the time, right? When I wanted to get to know Brandy, what did I do? I was always around her, right? I made sure she wanted that too because that would be awkward, but I wanted to make sure that she want, you know, and so I got to know her, right? So I always wanted to be in her presence. I always wanted to be a community with her. The same goes for our relationship with God. If you want to thrive, how can we passionately pursue you get into a community where God is thriving? You get into a community where God shows up. So what does one of those look like? Church. Sunday mornings. You guys are here right now. Sunday mornings, right? When we come together, what are we doing? We're worshiping. We're praying. We're getting into the Word of God. We're doing all these things that I just said. We're communicating to God. And what we're doing this together. And it's so important to take what we're learning here on a Sunday morning and do that the rest of the week. Just like Pastor Drew talked about last week, right? I can't remember how many hours there were. Like, we have, you know, 30 minutes right here to speak to you guys, but what about the rest of the hours of the week? See, if you're only communicating to your wife for 30 minutes a week, you're going to have some problems, man, okay? It's football season, so Sunday, Monday, Thursdays, Saturdays may be a problem, but we'll figure that out. We still got Tuesday. We still got Wednesday. And that's about it, right? I'm just kidding, right? No, communication is so important. Community is so important. You have to do it throughout the week. And church is a great way to jumpstart that. Church is a great way to get around a group of believers that want the same thing, that want to passionately pursue God. You see, the second way we can do this is through life groups, through life group. What this is it makes this room smaller. It makes this room small. All this is a group of people that you just do life with. You do everything together, right? You read the Word of God, you pray, you just have some fun, you get together, and you do what? You build community. You see, if you want to have a healthy marriage, you go to someone that has the marriage that you want, right? If you want to thrive in your finances, you go to someone that has good finances. You don't go to someone who is divorced and broke, right? They may have been divorced and broke at one point, but maybe they've learned from it and they grew from it. But someone that's currently going through that, you wouldn't randomly go up to them and say, hey, can you give me some tips on what I need to do to be better, right? That's what life group and church does. If you want to thrive in your relationship with God, get around the people that are thriving in their relationship with God. Because this is going to help you grow. This is going to help you. It may be uncomfortable for a second, and you may have to step out, but that's what growing is. You see, you can't thrive until you learn to strive. You have to push. You have to passionately pursue your relationship with God. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Nobody said that it's going to be walking the park. Once you get Jesus in your life, all is good. I wish it were, but it's not. But you know what? You have someone inside of you that is always with you, that no matter what comes your way, he is there for you, right? And that's what we are learning about. And so when we talk about these are different ways that we passionately pursue God, why? Why am I talking about this? Because we want to thrive in our relationship with God. I love what Matthew chapter 18 to 20 says. It says, for where two or three gather together as my followers, there I am there among them. You see, Maybe in a couple weeks, we're going to be launching some life groups again, our fall life groups, and we're excited for that. But can I tell you something? Don't wait for that. Get with people. Find someone here in this room and get their number and go have coffee with them. Go have dinner with them, right? See, when you two come together in his name, there he is with you. And I'm all for, you know, Bible studies and prayer times, and it's such a great way for us to grow. But some of us, we're not comfortable doing that. And that's okay. That's okay. Just get with another person that does that and learn from them and grow from them and walk through with them, and you will begin to learn and get more comfortable and understand what God really wants for you. So if we communicate, if we're in community with God, what would our relationship with God look like? So why do we passionately pursue God? Because we want more of him. Now let me clarify something before I finish the rest of this message. I am not saying if you pray, if you read the word of God, if you come to church, if you attend life group, and you do all these things, then you can have a relationship with God. I'm not saying that. Hear me. Hear me on that. I am not saying if you do this and this and this and this, then you can enter a relationship with God. I'm not saying that. You see, Jesus did something very, very special. See, when he came into this earth and he approached the cross, something powerful happened in that moment. And when he confessed and he said, I let my spirit go, right? And and that final breath that he took on that cross was for you and for me. Something significant happened. You see, back in the Old Testament and back in the old days, you couldn't just have a relationship with God. That's not how it worked back in the day. You see, there were certain people and certain religions and certain ways that you had to do it in order to even to get and talk into and be in his presence. You see, you had to go to the high priest. And the high priest had to, you know, kill some lambs and they had to clean their hands. They had to do all these things. They had to walk through a certain, you know, room. And there was so many rules and regulations that needed to happen. And the final step before getting into God's presence was the veil. He had to walk through the veil, and only he could walk through the veil in order to get into God's presence. And he would talk to these people and ask them, like, what do we need forgiveness for? What do we need to do? And I will go in and be in God's presence. Jesus went on that cross. When Jesus was on that cross, and that final breath that he took, that veil was torn. And that was symbolic for what? Everyone and anyone can have a relationship with God. You have direct access to God. And that is such a beautiful picture. You see, we passionately pursue to what? To have a thriving relationship with God. So I'm not saying you need to do all these things in order to have a relationship with God. What I'm saying is if you do these things, that's how you will be able to grow in your relationship with God. That's how you will learn to thrive. You see, Jesus took care of all of that. Jesus took care of all the regulations and the rules and everything that we needed to do in order to have a relationship with God. And I'm so, so thankful. Amen. So thankful for what God has done, his love for us. And you know what? And as I was prepping this message, I was like, man, that sounds like a lot like me. You see, I pray, I read, I read the word of God, I come to church, and I do all these things. And I'm thinking, man, what did that look like in my relationship with God? Why do I do those things, right? Why do I come to church? Why do I read the word of God? Why do I pray? Is it because I'm supposed to? Or is it because I'm passionately pursuing my relationship with him? And I had to give myself a heart check. Because you know what? I would rather have a check mark, in a sense. I would rather have, you know what? I need to pray. I need to, you know, pray, you know, for 30 minutes a day, read the word of God, and come to church once a week, or whatever. I would rather have that, and then, because then God's love would make sense to me. It's almost like I can earn it. But that's the beauty of God's grace. You can't earn it. You can't. You can do anything and everything. You can do everything that I'm talking about today. But that doesn't earn you a relationship with God. And that is challenging for me to hear, if I'm being honest with you. Because that does not make sense, right? That does not make sense. But that is how beautiful God's love is for you and for me. So you're like, so what are you saying? Are you telling me not to do these things? Like, what are you? You just went through a half a message telling me to do these things. I want to bring to you guys a guy named Paul. And we're going to read out of Philippians chapter 3. It's not going to be on the screen because it's kind of long. And I was kind of hesitant to do this because it is kind of long. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But if you have time during this week, read Philippians 3. Think of this message and read Philippians 3. It's such a good chapter. And we're going to read verse 7 through 14. But before I pick up in there, Paul is talking, and he's talking to the church, right? And he's saying about how he used to be a man who was a Pharisee. He used to follow the law to the T, right? Everything that he had to do, he followed it to the T. He did everything that was possible, right? And he wanted to do that to thrive in his relationship with God. And then we pick up in verse 7, and he says this. I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ. You see, I love in this whole chapter, what is this whole chapter titled? The priceless value of knowing Christ. It continues on. And it said, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. I just want Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through what? What did you say? Through obeying the law. I no longer count what I do in order to get into a relationship with God. I can't do that. I realize that. But rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. But God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection. I will experience resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess the perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing. I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I strive. I'm pressing on forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You see, Paul realized in that moment that a relationship with God is so important and is so valuable. And it's so hard to understand because I can't earn it. I can't earn it. And I need you to hear that. Some of us, we're waiting to get into a relationship with God because we want to earn it. We want to clean ourselves up before we see what God wants to do in us and through us. Jesus took care of that. That perfection that he was striving for, that he said, I want to reach that. Jesus took care of all of that. So I share these things to you to communicate and to be in community so we can grow, so we can learn to thrive in our relationship with God. In fact, this is what our mission statement is. We exist to love everyone towards a growing relationship with Christ. That's what we're talking about today, is a growing relationship with Christ. And we're all in different spectrums. We're all in different stages of life. We're all in different stages in our relationship with God. And all we want you to do, take a step. Just a little step. A little tiny step, and learn that Jesus does not want us to find a relationship with him to survive, but to thrive. You see, Jesus does not want us in a relationship with him so we can just get by life. No. He wants us to thrive in our lives. You see, when you get into a relationship with God, when you get into any relationship of the sort, when you get into a marriage, if you're married or if you're dating, you don't get into a marriage or to date that person to say, you know, man, I just really want to do the dishes for him, right? So I'm going to choose to get into a relationship with him. I don't think people do that, right? Like, or man, he doesn't wash his clothes, so I'm gonna get into a relationship with him so I can wash his clothes for him. Right? That's unheard of. Nobody does that, right? Nobody gets into a relationship to do that, right? You get into a relationship to do what? To be around that person, to get to know them, to be in their presence, right? And when you're in their presence, you realize how much you love them, or you realize how much you care for them, that you're willing to do the dishes. Some of us, right? You're willing to do it. You're willing to serve the other person. That's the same in a relationship with God. It's the same in a relationship with God. God wants you to enjoy his presence. And some of us, we're too busy doing everything. We're too busy doing all this. We're too busy getting to work. We're too busy, you know, taking care of the kids. We're too busy, you know, we're too busy and we forget about God's presence. And for me, for someone that's been in ministry for a while, for someone that grew up in church, it's the exact opposite. Because I'm constantly consumed where God is. But I'm too busy doing the things for God that I forget about his presence. And for wherever you find yourself today, God wants you to enjoy his presence. And when you start to enjoy his presence, you can't help but to serve. You can't help but to worship. You can't help but to get into the Word of God. You can't help to want more of God, because you are getting a taste of that when you are in his presence. Thriving isn't microwavable. It doesn't happen overnight. And I wish I could tell you that. Some of us, we want to grow, and like, great, it's going to take time for some of us. It's going to take time for all of us. It's going to take work. When I was in high school, I was a skinny kid, right, with bones, right? I was very small, and then I started playing football, and I started working out some more, and then I joined the powerlifting team, and I got pretty big, you know, muscle-wise. And I got pretty strong, and it was great, right? I'd probably be the healthiest shape of my entire life at that point. And then fast forward a couple of years to Bible college school, and they pretty much was broke and didn't have, you know, a gym to go to and all that. And a year or two went by, and I still had some muscles. I was like, man, I haven't worked out in a while, and I still got it, right? And about 5-10 years, maybe 10 years now, this is where I'm at, right? And I got some weight added to me, right? And I'm like, man, I need to get back in the gym. And I think about that, and I'm like, over time, over small periods of time, it looks like nothing's happening. But over large periods of time, something's happening. I still have abs, they're just underneath them, right? But it happens, right? You may be thinking, oh, I haven't worked out in a while, and I'm only going to gain 0.1 pound per week. That's nothing, right? Give it 10 years, it's going to be like 15 pounds, right? That's a big deal, right? And I started to think about that in our relationship with God. Are you passionately pursuing your relationship with God? Because the more you surround yourself with him, little by little, he will begin to share his love for you. Little by little, he will begin to share his value with you. Little by little, you will start to realign your life with him. And you may be thinking, oh man, some of these, you know, Jesus freaks are crazy and they're extreme and they're all the things. What is it? Little by little, they got to the point where they're so consumed with God's love that they can't help but to realign their lives with Christ. So I want to leave you with one last thing. One last question. I have an arrow up here that I want to show. In one direction, it's less like Jesus. And another, it's more like Jesus. You see, we exist as a church to help you take a step towards growing more like Jesus. You see, if we pray, if we get into the Word of God, if we get into community, we communicate to God, we have the opportunity to take a step towards more like Jesus. So what I want to leave with you here today is, where is your arrow pointing? What direction are you heading? We all know. And each, think about that right now. With what my life looks like in the concept of my relationship with God, what direction am I heading? What direction are you heading? Because once you evaluate that, you have a choice. You have a choice. Just keep going the direction you want, or go the other way. Wherever you're at, whether it's to grow more or it's to be less like Jesus. Our goal is to be more like Jesus. That is our goal as a church. That is our goal as Christ followers. Why? Because we want more of heaven on earth. We want more people that are lost to find the hope that we have. Right? We want people to find Jesus the way that he has rescued us. We want people to know that you don't need to get clean before you walk into a place where Jesus can accept you for as you are. That's why we are doing this. That's why we want to be more like Jesus. That's why we are doing this as a church. That's why we're going through these values as a church. To strive to thrive. We passionately pursue because we want to strive to have a thriving relationship with Christ. If you will you just close your eyes, bow your heads for the next couple minutes. Just take this time and to really evaluate where you are at with Christ. And you're thinking today, like, man, that's great. And I want to know where I'm at in this. I want to know where I'm at on this line, if I'm becoming more like Christ or becoming less like Christ. And maybe for some of us, you're thinking, I don't even know where I'm at. I don't even know if I have a relationship with Christ. Some of us, we've been waiting too long to kind of jump in to a relationship with God because we thought we had to do something about it. But you're telling me I don't. You're telling me that Jesus has taken care of it all. And what am I waiting for? If that's you in this room where you're like, man, I want a relationship with God. And I don't know what it's like and I'll have it all figured out, but I just want to get on. I want a relationship with God. Would you just raise your hand? Really quick, right where you're at. Raise your hand. Yep. And maybe for some of us, we're in this place. And we're like, man, I'm not going the direction I should be. I want to be thriving. I want to be more like Christ. I want to involve him in my life more, but I just haven't prioritized it yet. I haven't prioritized for him to be able to communicate the love that he had for me. I want to pray for everyone. I want to pray for each and every one of us. In fact, I want you to go ahead and just copy my prayer. Just say it out loud with me. We'll pray together as a church family. And if you raise your hand and say, man, I want that, pray this deeply in your heart. Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for what your son did for me. I ask that you would come into my heart so I could have a thriving relationship with you. God, forgive me of my sin. Help me to move forward to be more like you. Help me to learn to love like you. And God, I pray for everyone right now that regardless of what spectrum that we're in this morning, God, I pray that you would give us a heart check. That God, that your Holy Spirit would remind us of what direction we're heading to. And God, we want to be more like Christ, that if we communicate with you more, we get into community where you are thriving. God, would you help us to grow in our relationship with you? God, you want us to have a relationship with you, not so we can just get by in this life, but to thrive in this life. So God, I pray for each and every single one of us, wherever we may find ourselves, would your Holy Spirit speak to us? Would your Holy Spirit remind us of what we need to do to grow? What we need to do to take a step towards a growing relationship
with you. And we pray all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.